Faithful is he that called you, who will also do it. God has proved himself faithful. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You can trust in the Lord with all your heart. And you need not lean into your own understanding. But in all of your ways, you can acknowledge him. We're going to be preaching from Hebrews chapter 11 tonight. Very familiar scripture. And I want to preach tonight on the two sides to the hall of faith. Often this chapter is called the hall of faith. And I want to preach that on the two sides to the hall of faith. Because of all the things, beginning at least with the serious note, and I want to talk to you not just as a sermon tonight, but as a message to us as a people, specifically Union Road. And what I want you to hear is, I know we have faced many difficulties and situations and problems in the families of our church family. And since it was families of our church, that all affects our church family as a whole. Can you say amen? And we have gone through many things in the past several months, and we are going through our families many things. And I believe because of that, no doubt there are questions in the Christian mind, questions you perhaps wouldn't want to speak out loud, but many times a question and a struggle of how do we reconcile our faith with the reality of what we see our people suffering. I mean, we know things about God. We speak things about his power and his healing and all of these things, and yet we have great crises that we've gone through. How do we reconcile those crises to the faith, and our faith to the reality of those crises? In a small way, I hope to address that tonight. Amen. You've heard me for years make this statement. I'm going to refresh you with it, and you'll say, yes, we hear you say that quite often, Pastor. But the statement you've heard me make is this: when we get ready to pray, I'll say, listen, folks, God always answers our prayer when we pray in times of crises. God always answers our prayer when we pray in times of crises. He'll do one or two things. Number one, he will give us deliverance from the crisis. But if he doesn't give us deliverance from the crisis, number two, he will give us grace to go through the crisis. I believe that tonight. I believe God will answer our prayer with deliverance or with grace. And it's that I want to preach a little bit about tonight. You see, people tend to only see the faith, only to acknowledge the faith when it is a faith of deliverance. But I'm telling you, a faith for grace is just as notable in God's eyes as a faith for deliverance. Hallelujah. Paul said, I prayed three times for deliverance and it never came. But God spoke to me and said, my grace is sufficient for you, and out of your weakness you will know my strength. And so we like the testimonies of the faith of deliverance, and that catches our attention, and that makes its way into writing, and it makes its way on the CDs and on the airways, the faith of deliverance. But I'm telling you, in God's eyes, the faith for grace is just as notable. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God is going to answer our prayers. He's going to give us a faith for deliverance. And if we don't have a faith for deliverance, he's going to give us a faith, amen, to believe him for grace in the difficulty. Amen. There were two things that happened years ago that stuck in my heart over this issue. Number one man, he wrote an article. He had suffered a horrible plane crash. He was a pilot of a small plane, and he entitled the article, Sister Brock, he entitled it, God Was My Co-Pilot When I Crashed My Plane. You read that at first, you say something's not right. It ought to read, God was my co-pilot when I about crashed my plane, but he healed the plane. He solved the mechanical problem and brought me to safety. But he didn't say, God was my co-pilot when he kept me from crashing my plane. He said, God was my co-pilot when I crashed my plane. What's he saying? Yes, it would have been God if he had mechanically healed my plane. But just because my plane crashed doesn't mean that God had exited the scene, that God had abandoned me, that God had left me, even though my plane crashed. Oh, God was there in grace. God was there in mercy. God was there in strength. God was there to undergird. Amen. He stood by me, hallelujah, in my difficulty. The second thing is when I was first come here and was trying to deal with the Vaughns and be with the Vaughns during their times of difficulties, and Brother Vaughn had been a man of faith, and here he was suffering from the sickness that took his life. So many things I don't understand. I'm not going to attempt to understand them. But Sister Brock, if you'd think you'd seen it too, Brother Brock still came to services and prayer meeting. He couldn't talk. The disease had a grip on him, but every once in a while they'd ask him to pray over in the prayer room, and he'd lay hands on folks and pray, and they'd get help from God. And yet he was suffering with the disease. And Sister Vaughn talked with me one day, and she said, you know, Pastor Hurst, she said, we've believed in faith all of our ministry, and I just can't understand why Brother Vaughn's not healed. I'm afraid that people will think we don't have faith, that we don't have the faith we preached about. And I said, Sister Vaughn, I want to tell you something. Yes, it's wonderful to have a faith and to believe and see people get healed, but folks have watched you all these years and months with your husband, with Brother Vaughn and his sickness. They watched you trust God as it got worse. They watched you trust God when you got the diagnosis of the disease. They watched you trust God when you had to move him into a nursing home. And I'm telling you, I told Sister Vaughn, I'm telling you, Sister Vaughn, that that's a great testimony. As great as a testimony is that I believe God and he healed. To see your faith when God doesn't heal. To see your unwavering trust in God, even when he's not healed, that's faith too. Hallelujah. Oh, that's the faith of grace. Amen. Some think a person that has prayed and been healed has a lot of faith. I'll take nothing from that. I believe that's tremendous faith. But I think it takes more faith to believe that God is the healer when you prayed for him to heal you and you're still sick and you continue to believe that he's a God of healing. That's great faith too. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to read a few verses. Paul has talked about what faith has done in all of these saints' lives. And in verse 32, brother, amen, Paul begins in short bio clips. He begins to summarize. I want you to watch this. I know you've heard this over and over, but I want you to see this as we read. Here's Paul's summary, Brother Rose. He said, and what shall I more say? I've told you about Abraham. I've told you about Moses. I've told you about Isaac. All the... But what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, who by his 300 whipped all those armies, or of Barak, or of Samson with his great strength, or of Barak, skip Barak, and of Jephthah, and of David also, who as a lad slayed a giant, great faith, and of Samuel, who called lightning from heaven, and oh, of all the prophets, their tremendous faith, who through faith, listen to this, they subdued kingdoms, great faith. They wrought righteousness. Great faith. They obtained promises. Great faith. They stopped the mouths of lions. Great faith. They quenched the violence of fire. Great faith. They escaped the edge of the sword. Great faith. Out of weakness were made strong. Great faith. Waxed valiant in fight and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Great faith. Women received their dead raised to life again. Great faith. And mid-verse, and others were tortured. Great faith. not accepting deliverance, great faith, that they might obtain a better resurrection, great faith. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, great faith. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments, great faith. They were stoned, great faith. They were sawn asunder, great faith. They were tempted and were slain with the sword, great faith. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, great faith. Destitute, afflicted, tormented, great faith, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Great faith. Listen, and these all, the one that got their dead raised to life, and the one that was sawn asunder, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received the promise. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's two kinds of faith here. There's a faith for deliverance, but there is a faith for grace to make it through. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. The last part of this faith chapter, so many that preach on faith, they avoid it because they're not sure they like what it says. They call this the hall of faith. I'm going to call it the hall of faith, but what is true to every hall you've ever been in? It's got two walls. The picture's kind of like being in the hallway of royalty or the palace or a museum. And the portraits and the bust and the sculpturings of great men. And Sister Harris, when you walk and you're just looking down on one wall, you're seeing a David that killed a giant. You're seeing a Daniel that came out of a lion's den. But if you turn and look at the other wall, you're looking at a Joseph who was sent to prison for his stand on righteousness. You're looking at a man, Isaiah, that was sawn asunder. You're looking at a Jeremiah that was put down in a pit. I'm telling you, there's two sides to the hall of faith. And yes, thank God we can get excited about looking at the side of the hall of faith that's about deliverance. But oh, look on the other side of the hall of faith of those that would not bend, they would not bow, they would not compromise. They were persecuted. Things didn't go their way. They were sick. They were afflicted. Oh, but they kept the faith. And even to the last breath, they said, "For the Lord, He is God, and there is none other. And my trust and my faith is resting Him." Hallelujah. Amen. Both of these are on the hall of faith. Did the people who were not delivered have less faith? Those that were sawn asunder, did they have less faith? The answer is no. In verse 38 it says, "Of whom the world was not worthy." There was not a thing wrong with their faith. And later it says in those verses, "Of whom, having obtained a good report." Even I know those preachers that preach today on faith, they'd say that poor old prophet, he was sawn asunder. He didn't have much faith. I'm telling you, Isaiah that was sawn asunder, Brother Aaron, he had as much faith as the three who walked out of the fire unburned. Amen. They both obtained a good report through faith. I'm not telling you that I know any way to explain how it is sometimes. I know even in the New Testament, James is put into prison, taken out, and had his head cut off. Amen. Peter is in prison, and he's delivered, and he walks free. I can't explain it to you. I don't understand it. It's because I'm not God. I think that's the trouble. People want to bring it down to a formula that they can understand, something they can get a grip on. I'm telling you that I don't understand it. It's because God is God. But I'm telling you, James had just as much faith as Peter did, and when you get to heaven, the reward for James will be just as great as for Peter. I know Paul was set free from prison, but they took Stephen out and they stoned him. There was nothing wrong with his faith, because with his dying glimpse, he said, "I see the Son of God." He stood up to welcome me, standing at the right hand of God. I'm telling you, Stephen had just as much faith as Paul had. Hallelujah. The two sides of the hall of faith. All of these were godly men. But you see, for those who were not delivered, God's plan was different. a plan we do not understand. But it's more than just his plan was different. The fulfillment of their faith and what they believed was to come in another world at another time rather than their world and their time. Hallelujah. These were all godly people, both those who were delivered and those that were killed. All of these had faith, those who got their miracle and those who didn't. I'm telling you, the last part of this chapter is a strong repudiation and rebuke to those that teach, if you've got enough faith, you'll always be healed. If you got enough faith, you'll never go lacking. If you got enough faith, you'll always prosper. If you've got enough faith, you'll be delivered from every difficulty. And they would be so bold to say, if you do suffer, you didn't have enough faith. I'm going to tell you that's not true. God does deliver. God does set free. God does heal. But I'm telling you, you can believe God and things not go right. Amen. That does not mean there is something wrong with your faith. Perhaps there could be. You can work that out with God. But just because you suffer doesn't mean there's anything wrong with your faith. Whenever there's not deliverance in response to faith, it's simply because God has something better for you. I want to say it again. Amen. If there is not deliverance in your response to faith, there is only one reason. God has something better for you. Glory to God. Look at this verse here. It said, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Amen. There is a better thing. You see, what is better than being healed? How about a resurrection? Hallelujah. I don't mean to minimize anything. I know that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but I'm telling you something. Lazarus died again. Lazarus, if not, he'd be walking around on earth somewhere. I'm telling you, there's something better than a healing. It's one of these days. Every believer in Christ is going to resurrect from the grave to die no more. Hallelujah. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Hallelujah. There's something better than a healing. Hallelujah. Whatever God does in eternity will be better than what he could do for us right here and now. You'd say, I need God to make me rich. Why didn't he make me rich? I need God to heal. Why didn't he heal? I don't know all the answers. He can do it. But if he doesn't, you know something. Whatever he's going to do for you in eternity is going to be far better than what he could have done for you here and now. A better resurrection. You see, our faith spans two worlds. You see, these saints are Old Testament saints. They had a faith, Brother Laredo, a faith in God's promises. But those promises, by God's word, could not have been fulfilled in their time. Those promises were to be fulfilled in Christ. So they believed fervently in these promises. But Sister Dale, though they believed, had faith in these promises, according to God's plan, they could not have been fulfilled in their time because they were yet to be fulfilled in Christ's time. If you're believing the promises of God and you're not seeing them fulfilled right now, that doesn't mean they're not going to be fulfilled. That just means they're going to be fulfilled in God's time. And it may be in the next world, but he is going to fulfill every promise to his people. Did you hear me? God is going to fulfill every promise to his people. You see, our faith spans two worlds. You could try to add up things here in this life, and they don't add up many times. Isn't that right? Let's just all be honest. We're just home folk. I'm not evangelist. I'm just your pastor. How many knows a lot of times you wonder about these things? You've prayed so fervently. Horrible things happen to you and your family. And you're trying to add them up. And however you add them up, they don't add up right. That's because we're only looking at one page of the ledger. We need to start factoring in the world to come. What he doesn't give us here, he's got something better he's going to give us in the next world. Hallelujah. Have you ever tried to balance your checkbook and somehow it didn't factor in a deposit you made? You can go through that paper, you can compare the bank statement with your checkbook over and over, and you're still in the hole. It still ain't coming out right until, oh, it dawns on you. You forgot that deposit. You forgot to record that in the register. And when you get that deposit in there, hopefully, when you get that deposit in there, suddenly it balances out. Amen. You try to figure things out, Brother Josh, in this life, they don't seem to measure up. They don't seem to figure out. Oh, but factor in an eternity in the presence of Christ. Factor in a million years from now, we'll still be shouting victory as before the Lord we bow. Factor in through eternity, eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither entered into the heart of men, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Oh, we need to factor in the next world. These in the Old Testament, they didn't see it. They in the New Testament did. And we in our lifetime may not see it, but one day we will. Every promise they believed was one day fulfilled. I'm going to bring everything together. I'm going to do this very quickly, but I want to go back. I had Brother Mike get ready with some verses in Hebrews 13. I want you to notice, some people read right over this. Verse 13, it said, these all died in faith. I'm trying to encourage, in no way discourage. I just want to preach the whole counsel of truth. We have too much lopsided, one-sided teaching on faith. But it didn't say these all were healed in faith, or these all prospered in faith. What did it say? These all what? Oh, they teach you today, if you got sick and died, you didn't have any faith. They're wrong by the authority of God's word. I said they're wrong by the authority of God's word. They say if you pray for prosperity and you still got bills, you don't have any faith. They're wrong by the authority of God's word. These all died in faith. And when they drew their last breath, they had just as much faith as the man that was healed. As the man. Why? Because they never quit trusting God. They never let go the promises of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We may die believing, but we can die in faith. Hallelujah. I know there's a faith to keep from dying, but there is a faith that is good when you're dying. Hallelujah. As we used to sing, it will do when I am dying. There is a faith when you're dying. I've been there when the awful cancer is taking a life, and at the last breath, I cannot explain it, but suddenly in the midst of that disease-filled room, I have felt the victory of Jesus step in. You said, did they die? Yes, but they died in faith, and they left this world and step into an eternity with God where every promise was fulfilled. Hallelujah. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Amen. But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embrace them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Amen. Next verse, if we got it there. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. For truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they had come out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Remember, this is not the report of those that were delivered by faith. This is a report of those that died in faith. But as far as I'm concerned, these were great people of faith. I'm going to do this quickly, but I want you to notice this faith for grace. Number one, they saw something. They had reason to believe. They saw something. They had reason to believe. When Abraham talked about a city that had foundations whose builder and maker was God, he wasn't making it up. He wasn't dreaming it up. God allowed him to see a city that had foundations whose builder builder and maker is God. When Abraham talked about having a seed through whichever nation of the earth would be blessed, he wasn't dreaming it up. God had showed it to him. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you can have faith for deliverance and faith for grace because God can show you the things that are to come. He can show you the victory that is ahead. He can show you the things that he has in store for those that will trust him. Have you seen it lately? Have you seen what God has in store? Oh, that's why they died in faith. Even they saw something. They had reason to believe. Secondly, they embraced the promise. They embraced the promise. It said they seen the things that were far off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They saw them. They embraced them. In other words, God gave them a promise, but they accepted it. God gave them a promise, but they made it their own. Hallelujah. Every promise in the book is mine. There's a lot of promises in God's word. It's one thing for there to be promises from God, and there's another thing for you to embrace them. Make them your own. I think it's time to get out the book of promises and say, God, I'm going to embrace these promises. I'm going to make these promises my own. They embraced the promise when they were the Allies were sweeping across Germany at the end of World War II. They were clearing out old bombed out houses, and they came to a basement that had been covered with rubble. And there in that basement, a Holocaust survivor, a Jew, had hid out the war and spent all those months and years in that filthy basement. And they found where he had scratched the Star of David on the wall, and he had this message. He said, I believe in the sun even when it does not shine. I believe in love even when it's not shown. And I believe in God even when he does not speak. I'm telling you, you can embrace the promise of God in spite of the difficulty. Make it your promise and stand on it. And then how they have faith when they died, they testified to what they believed. It said they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. I'm telling you, they didn't just embrace the promise. They told people about it. They declared it. You're going to think I'm start talking like another camp. But we don't need to talk doubt. And we don't need to talk discouragement. We need to talk the promises of God. Instead of going around saying, I don't know how we're going to make it, talk the promise of God. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus, in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't say, well, I guess I'm in this by myself. No, you claim the promise. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you think it's time to testify to what we believe? If you've embraced the promise, it's time to declare it. I mean, they told everyone, there is a country God has provided for us. And in terms of today, in the lingo of today, they made a statement. They made a statement. They came before the cameras and the microphones of the news agency and said, no, we're not living in that city, but we have seen it and we believe our God. And one of these days we're going to dwell in the city which hath foundations, whose maker and builder is God. They just made a statement of what they believed, and then they made up their mind never to turn back. They made up their mind never to turn back. And truly, if they had been mindful of that city from whence they had came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country that is a heavenly. Oh, they came out of Ur looking for the city of God. They didn't find it. They were nomads. They went from place to place. They were pilgrims. They could have returned to that Ur. They could have returned to that country. Oh, but they said, our minds are made up. We haven't found that city yet. But that doesn't mean we're turning back to that old pagan city. Amen. We haven't discovered all God has for us, but we're not going back. I'm telling you, you can have faith even when you're dying. If you have that determination, however rough it gets, I'm going on to the promise of God. I'm not looking back. I'm not turning back. I'm not going back. Amen. I've left that city for good, and I'm looking for a city. Hallelujah. Don't think about turning back. That's faith for grace, regardless how rough the road. And last of all, they were not ashamed of what they believed. And therefore, God was not ashamed of them. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. God is not ashamed to be called their God. They declared it. They weren't ashamed of what they believed. And therefore, God was not ashamed to be called their God. Too many folks are acting ashamed of God and ashamed of what they believe. I pray so often, and I believe this, even these situations we currently face, God, our trust is in you, and we need not be ashamed. You know what that means? I could pick anything. I'm not picking on anyone. I'm just grabbing an illustration out of the air. You can be convinced on Ford. Do you drive a Ford? I forgot. You do? Okay. We'll pick on Steve. He's used to it. You can brag about how good that Ford is. You can talk about how powerful it is, how wonderful that Ford is. If you're broke down on the road with that Ford with the hood up and I'm driving by, where'd your boast go then? You're going to be a little embarrassed. You've been bragging on that Ford, and that Ford let you down. You got the hood up, that thing went kaput, and you're standing there by the road, and I drive by and I know you've been bragging about Ford. You have reason to be embarrassed. You'll never do that with God. You'll never brag on God, what he's met, what he's done, what he's going to do, and ever get in a situation where you have to hang your head in shame. I trusted in God and he let me down. If you'll be unashamed of your God, he will not be ashamed of you. You know, this is serious business. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me when I come, I'll be ashamed of you. We don't need to be ashamed. Well, I thought you all believed in healing. We do. And we don't need to be ashamed of that, because we serve a God that is going to show himself, and every promise is going to be fulfilled. God will not let his people down. Oh, hallelujah. How many knows there's victory ahead? I'll close with two things. Number one, I'll tell you the kind of faith that's the faith of grace. It's the but if not faith. How many knows already what I'm going to talk about? But if not faith. They said, you bow to this king's idol and you worship it when you hear the music. And if not, we're going to cast you in the fire. The first act of faith is the three kept on standing when everyone else bowed. Old tattletales came running to the king and said, there's those three Hebrews you put trust in. And they heard the music. They didn't bow down with the rest and worship the God. Oh, he called those three there, and he was in a rage. He was furious. He said, I heard you didn't bow down to my image, but I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to have the music play again, and when you hear it, if you'll fall down and worship, you're off the hook. But if not, that fiery furnace is waiting right over there. Those three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, said, we are not careful to answer you, O King. We don't have to debate this. We don't have to mull around about it. We don't have to think, well, maybe it's not going to work out for us, because we know that our God is able to deliver us from that fiery furnace. And in fact, we know he's able, and we even believe that he's going to do it. But if not, But if he doesn't deliver us, no king, that we're still not going to bend and we're still not going to bow and we're still not going to let our trust in the Almighty God go. I'm telling you, what we need is a but if not faith. We believe in healing, but if not, he's still God. Hallelujah. We believe in prospering, but if not, he's still God. Hallelujah. I want a but if not faith. I'm trusting in the Lord, and you need not be ashamed. Would you come, music? Andrew was reading a missionary biography of John G. Patton, and I don't think this story was in there, but when he went to the New Hebrides Islands, he noticed they didn't even have a written language. It's going to be a problem to give them the Bible. They don't have a written language. So first of all, he had to find a way to write their language. And when he found the way to write their language, he began to translate the Bible so they could read God's word in their own language. But immediately he noticed a problem. In all of this tribe's language, they didn't have a word for faith. Didn't have a word for faith. And when that happens to translators, they try to get immersed in the culture until they hear a word that they can use to translate faith, belief. John G. Patton went for months. He couldn't find the word to use. One day he went hunting with two of the natives, and it was an island, but they went way up into the mountains, and there they killed a deer. They put it on a pole, two of them, the natives, to carry it back down. It was a long trek down the mountain. The missionary compound was at the seashore. It took many hours out in the hot sun. Finally, they got back to the missionary compound after that long trek. And those two natives, they threw that deer down there at the missionary compound, and they had what we call deck chairs now. And one of those natives, he threw that deer down, tired, wore out. And he flopped down on that deck chair, and he said in his language, "It feels so good to stretch yourself out like this and just rest." And the missionary said, "That's it. That's the word for faith in their language." And he translates this way: "Whosoever shall stretch themselves out and rest on Jesus shall be saved." I'll tell you, that's what we do. We may not understand everything. There may be questions we don't have answers for. There may not be deliverance in every situation. But I'll tell you what we can do. We can stretch ourselves out on Jesus and rest, knowing we need not be ashamed, that he's going to fulfill every promise to his people. I believe God. I don't have you do this much. I just want you to do it all. I just want you to say it out loud. I believe God. Come on, let's say it. I believe God. Think of your greatest difficulty and say it again. I believe God. Think of your biggest question. I believe God. Would you stand and lift your hands and tell it to him now? Say, "Lord, I believe you. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to trust in you." Oh, hallelujah. That's what the choir was singing about. Instead of being afraid, you can trust. Oh, you can trust. You can trust. Let's trust him tonight. Let's believe in him tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I will trust the Lord. I will trust him. These all died in faith, but they had faith when they died. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not those that have great difficulty that I'm the most concerned with. I'm most concerned with those that don't see how greatly we need this faith and trust in the Lord. We can't make it on our own. We need him. Oh, how many knows it's a place of rest to trust in the Lord? I only know how to give an altar call. I wonder if I couldn't just do this tonight. You'd just say, "I am seeking for that city. I am going to believe him. I am not ashamed in whom I have believed." And you'd walk this aisle tonight, come to this altar and say, "God, I'm going to believe you all the way. In spite of what I'm facing, what I'm going through, my questions, my crisis, I'm going to believe you." Would you come begin to fill the altars? Just come saying, "I believe you, Lord. I believe you, God. I believe you, God. I believe you, God. I believe you, God. I'm not going to be ashamed. Every promise is going to be fulfilled." Every promise is going to be fulfilled. Every promise is going to come to pass. Oh, our faith spans two worlds. Our faith spans two worlds.
You are my refuge.
Stretch yourself out on Jesus and rest.
In you I'll trust.
How's your faith tonight?
You are my fortress.
Well, come on, church. We take this seriously tonight.
In you I trust.
Tell the Lord, I will trust you.